Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. I have a question for you. There are two things. There is something like 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or we also have Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's the difference between those, if there is any at all? Confession and repentance. So we're talking about confession and repentance. These are not the same thing. They do not have the same source. They are not the same thing. They do not have the same effect. Unfortunately, I believe that too much in the Christian world, we do not understand what is confession and what is repentance and what is the difference. When I fail, it's not that I have taken myself out of fellowship with God, per se, although that is the effect. But God died to reconcile me to that fellowship. So if a person lives in sin, fails, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if a person fails, they have taken themselves out of fellowship with God, because the only way to have fellowship with God is to live in faith. The just live by faith. So what confession does for me is I confess my sin. And I have now agreed with God, homologeo, I have now agreed with God. I am of the same thought, same word, same confession of God regarding my sin, and it is sin. So I say to God, Father, I have sinned. Notice that the prodigal, that was all he was permitted to say by the father. The father did not allow the prodigal to give him his full speech, because he had rehearsed it ahead of time. The only thing the father wanted to hear from the prodigal was, Father, I have sinned. The moment that that confession came to the father went, put his arms around, embraced his neck, put his arms around his neck. That means he embraced his volition, and he strengthened it. So the volition that turned him, he strengthened it. The volition of that confession, he strengthened it. And then he put a robe and the shoes in the ring. And each one of those has their own significance in the kingdom, but that's not really what we're going into this morning. So, if I am to walk with God, Amos 3:3, I must be in agreement with Him. And what I am doing when I confess my sin is I am bringing myself to a point of agreement with God so that again I can walk with Him. I can have fellowship and communion with Him. Now, I may not have repented yet, but I have confessed, and now I am back in perfect communion with God because I agree with Him. Now, I may, preferably I will not, but I may fail again. And 70 times 7, and I am to be forgiven by God and by my brother. So, confession and repentance are not the same thing. Now, yes, it is true, repentance is a turning, but that is a very incomplete thought. The real question is, where does it all come from? I produce the action of confessing. But get this, I do not produce the action of repenting. Okay? I can't repent. I can only confess. There's your difference. Repentance doesn't come from me. I can't do it. Let's take a look. We are called to have both in our lives, confession and repentance. In Ezekiel 18:30, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." So I now know that even though I may have confession, without repentance I can still have the ruin of the iniquity that is plaguing me that I've been confessing to God. I'm not going to get rid of that without repentance. So I can confess and I can confess and God can forgive and God can forgive. However, the consequences for my actions are still present. Now I can go back into fellowship with God in agreement with Him, being of one mind, one word with Him, homologeo, but not one life with Him. There's a difference. Now let's take a look. In Romans 2:4, the Word of God says, the first thing that is about repentance that we're going to bring up. "Despise you the riches," or "do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" So in order to get to repentance, I need to receive the goodness of God. In order for confession, I simply need to know it's sin. I can confess on the basis of the law, but I cannot repent on the basis of the law. For example, if somebody goes out and murders somebody, the law says thou shalt not murder. It defines sin for them. And like Paul said to Timothy, if somebody doesn't know that they ought not murder, then maybe the law is good for them. So I can confess my sin even on the basis of the law, but I will not be entering into any kind of a life of God experience on the basis of a confession. I can enter into fellowship, but I can't enter into union without repentance. I have to be careful of that. You see, here's the thing though. Confession does precede repentance. Often, because of bad self-images, immature believers will deny that they have sinned. This is bad news. Like, let's say they do something and say, "I didn't do that." And it's about their self-image, but what they're not realizing is that very self-image issue that is based in pride, because they are trying to preserve something of themselves rather than forget the image, forget the reputation. Jesus made Himself of no reputation. But believers try to preserve a reputation of, "I'm not wrong, I'm not bad, I'm good." And it's usually through an old religious line of reasoning, or through some trip that's been put on them earlier in their life. They refuse the confession part. You see the plan in this? Legalism destroys the self-image, which eliminates confession and takes me away from fellowship with God. So I confess and I enter into the fellowship with God because I do admit, "God, I sinned." So first I have to admit it to myself so that I can be in agreement with God. This was a mistake. How many believers have trouble saying, "I made a mistake"? There's a lot of them out there. Well, you've got to be humble enough to say, "I made a mistake," to God. You don't have to say it to anybody else, because really, "against thee and thee only I have sinned," said David to God. after Bathsheba and Uriah. So it's not that I have to confess it before any other person, although an apology will open people's capacity. So that has its place. But as far as my standing and my relationship to God, I confess only to God. So if in my heart before God, even if I do not have the capacity to say it before people, I say, I made a mistake, God. This was sin. Now I am back in a fellowship. But I am not in a union. Now, in John 9:39, the Word of God says, For judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains. I need to come and say to Him, God, I'm blind. I cannot come to Him and say, God, I can see. But the self-righteous man will never say, God, I'm blind. The self-righteous man always says, God, I see. And they don't say it to God per se, they say it to somebody else. And they say, I see your mistake, and I see the truth, and I see the proper way, and I see how it should be, and I see. And God says, because you say you see, your sin remains. If you were blind, you would have no sin. So that confession part is crucial. That confession part is absolutely crucial. Because nothing comes without that. So I have to confess. Now, when I go, after I have confessed, I do not get condemned. I receive the mercy and the goodness of God. What is the goodness of God there? In the original, it's talking about the kindness and the gentleness and the favor of God. It's His compassion. Okay? So those are the things, the kindness, the gentleness, the compassion of God, the mercy of God, leads me to repentance. Now, that in and of itself does not give me repentance. That brings me to where I find repentance. So the goodness of God brings me to where I find repentance. Now, in Matthew 9:13, we've got this struggle between us in confession, repentance, and self-righteousness. This is a classic struggle. Okay? I've got to be humble before God before I can approach any of this. Because the Word of God says in Matthew 9:13, But go ye and learn what it means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So I will not have repentance on the basis of my self-righteousness. In other words, if I repent, it is not that now I am performing in a self-righteous endeavor. If I am repenting, it's not now I am simply fighting sin and I'm not sinning, and that makes me righteous. Not at all. That's not real repentance. You know what that is? That's the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. My sin has simply taken on a new aspect. That's not repentance. But the mercy of God, and not my works, not my sacrifice, not my self-righteousness, that brings repentance. the mercy of God. So when I confess my sin, I look for mercy and I trust God's kindness toward me and God's compassion toward me and the fact that He knows what I am made of and that I'm simply, my frame is dust. When I make a mistake, I don't beat myself over the head with it. That's not going to get me out of it. I don't get condemned about it. That's not going to get me out of it. I don't apply the law to myself. That's not going to get me out of it. I turn to God's mercy and His kindness. That will get me out of it. In 2 Timothy 2:25, here's the first step toward repentance. After I have confessed and turned to God's mercy and His goodness. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So, in instruction from the Word of God, my repentance begins. And what does it say? If God will peradventure give them repentance. Not if peradventure they produce repentance. But if God peradventure will give them repentance. So what does that mean? Repentance is a gift from God. I don't produce repentance. I receive it as a gift from God, because I have been receiving the Word of God and the Holy Spirit changes my thinking, which then changes my volition. And God grants me repentance. That's how that works. Do you see why the unbelievable need for the Word of God? Do you see why Satan so vehemently attacks the Word of God? There is no repentance apart from the Word of God, and as I receive the Word of God, I receive a gift of repentance. The Word turns me. I don't turn myself. The Word turns me. Go learn what it means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Instruct them that God give them repentance. Now the next part is in John 3:11. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance. Now there are two things there, baptize and water. And by baptize, I don't mean a physical baptism, although that is a sacrament that all believers ought to go through after they've been saved. No, what that's talking about is I identify with the cross through the Word of God, and it leads to my repentance. So now I have a confession, I turn to mercy, I turn to the kindness of God, I get the Word of God to turn me, and in that turning, the process of turning develops, a cross is developed in my life that causes that repentance. You see, as long as I'm on the throne, repentance is not happening. But when God is on the throne through the Word and the cross, repentance is God's gift to me. And He produces it in me. In Jeremiah 31:19, surely after that I was turned, I repented. So it's that turning element that causes the change. It's that turning that causes the transformation that comes from the cross, which came from the Word, which came when I started receiving something because I've received the mercy and the kindness of God after I came to Him with a confession. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. So the Word turned me, the cross changed me, and the instruction delivered me. I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed. even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. You see, this is the transformed heart. And now that person looks back, perhaps, on the mistakes and the knowledge, and the knowledge that this is what I was like, I'm embarrassed by it now. And it's not for us to live in the condemnation of it, but when we think about what we were like before we got turned, it becomes a very embarrassing thing for us. Like, we're a little bit ashamed of it, and we wish it had never happened that way. Well, that's actually the sign of a healthy frame of reference. Not unto condemnation, but unto a genuine Holy Spirit remorse that said those things were not good. And the heart has been changed, because the heart no longer loves those things or desires them. But the heart now desires God and the things of God. This is the result of repentance. In Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted. A person has many conversions, one salvation. A person has one indwelling of the Spirit, but many fillings of the Holy Spirit. And I repent when in areas of my life where I am turned and I'm going from grace to grace. In other words, I'm growing from areas where the Word has become governmental to new areas where the Word has become governmental. And I grow from grace to grace as I am progressively converted through a series of continuous repentance that I don't produce, I receive. And this is how the believer grows, as they receive the Word of God in the quickening of the Holy Spirit. This is what our lives are about. Then finally, in Jeremiah 26:3, when I get to that point, if so they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent of me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And now the effect, the consequences of my sin are removed from me. Now the chastisement of my sin is removed from me. Now the effects that I caused, the negative results, are removed from me. Just like Ahab. It was going to be dreadful for him. But then he repented and God said, you will not see the things that I've prepared. Your children will see it. But the reason why his children saw it was because they were evil. And so what happens? I get the reciprocity of repentance. I repent before God, and God repents of the things that were going to come my way because of the evil that I was into. There's a reciprocity to these things. Repentance is a gift. Repentance is not a decision. Repentance is a gift. Confessing is a decision. Receiving the Word of God is a decision. Fellowshipping with God's mercy and kindness is a decision. But repentance is a gift that comes after I've made those decisions to respond in a positive volition response to God's initiations to get me out of sin. If I refuse to go there, into that confession realm, if I'm one of those people who cannot say before God, I made a mistake, then God brings in a plan of action. And that's in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and go through confession, seeking God's, like receiving, seeking and receiving God's mercy, God's kindness, getting the Word of God, letting the Word of God produce a cross in you that then turns you completely, gives you a brand new life, and now you have a brand new being that has been converted from the old man into the new man, and now you have the practical experience of what it means in 2 Corinthians 5:17 when it says that old things are passed away. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, all things are become new. Amen.